1. What's going on, everybody? Pat DeVere here, and we are back again. This time it's a spooktacular Halloween edition of Flame On. My name is Pat DeVere, and I am your celestial seasonings, sleepy time tea, very sleepy bear that's on the cover, but apparently not the sleepy tea bear. Anyway, if you know, you know, and only the four of us know that. So, welcome to the inside joke, people. I am your host for this seance. I am Pat DeVere. I am being joined on the West Coast by Brian.
Boo! Happy Halloween.
And on the East Coast by Eric.
Boo!
Boo! What is that from? Who did that recently? What was it? Oh!
Well, I mean, it didn't turn out that way, but I was kind of going for the Angela Boo at the end of... Agatha Boo at the end of the episode.
It was Angela?
I was thinking you were doing the Aidan Zane Boo. Oh,
that could work, too.
Oh, my God. Angela? You know we're of a certain age when that's the Angela reference that we make. And we're also joined on the East Coast by BJ.
Oogity boogity.
You didn't want to go boo as well. Oh, I love it. Well, we are we've joined here on this All Hallows Eve to record this episode coming out on All Saints Day. Or All Souls Day, I should say. And in the thematicness of an ooky spooky holiday season. And oh my goodness, tonight at midnight, it's when, or East Coast time, midnight, it's when it's time.
Oh God, it's already time, isn't it?
I know, this year's gone by so fucking fast. It's crazy.
I just meant dreading Mariah Carey's ultimate return. That's all. But yeah, that too.
You know, I'm in my season. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. Being a former retail employee, though, I love All I Want for Christmas Is You, but I don't love All I Want for Christmas Is You like that. I heard way too many renditions and different covers of it working retail over the years.
The only good version is the all alto version of the song.
Oh God.
Or they don't go up, they just kinda
and they just stay alto.
Can we go back to something Pat just said? I feel like if you go back in the record, you will note that that song is played every year ceremoniously by you, and you had a mixed relationship. See, I never picked that. I always thought that was just like you didn't bring it out until it's time, but I mean, it makes more sense now, but I was like, I thought you just loved that song
more. No, love it's than a hate great song. It's you know, and I just had this conversation with people at work. It's I've been a Mariah Carey fan now for 34 years, longer than most of the people in my office have been alive. And I realized last year when I saw Mariah on her Christmas tour in early December that it was 30 years since the first time I saw her in concert, which was back in 1993. And as the encore, because it was December in New York, I saw her at Madison Square Garden. Tommy Mottola came out as Santa, and she sang Santa Claus is Coming to Town, because this was the year before she released her seminal holiday masterpiece that is Merry Christmas. And All I Want for Christmas Is You then became a modern Christmas classic. So it's very weird how, like, I love the song. It's great. I love her. But being a retail worker, yes, it drives you insane. But it was also a tradition with my family when we decorated the Christmas tree to play that song to kick off the tree trimming festivities. So that tradition trumps retail worker trauma in my book. So
it's also interesting because even though now she waits until November 1st, the song was actually released on October 29th. So you could say it's a Halloween song, actually.
I'm doing that from now on for forever. I'm calling it a Halloween song. Thank you for this weapon and this gift and this curse all at once.
Oh my God, I love it. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, goodness. So with that being said, the reason we have convened, the reason we waited to convene, I should say, and record this the day before or mere hours before it is supposed to go live for the listening public is because we wanted to discuss something that just had its finale last night. And if you clicked on this intentionally, you already know what we're talking about, but we're going to bring the drama because we are homosexuals.
Are we the drama? We're the drama.
Yeah, we are. So last night was the 2-episode finale of Agatha All Along. And usually I'm the one that's like, fuck spoiler warnings. If you're listening to this, you already got, you know, you already know what's going on. But maybe, just maybe, and only because I remember this time. Normally I just forget. That's why we don't say, you know, spoiler warning. This is going to be heavily spoilers. We're talking about it all. We're going to discuss our thoughts and our feelings about it and why Patti LuPone was the best thing about, you know, certain parts of the season. And still going to steal it.
Curse you.
But we are going to dive into that. We're going to spoil a ton of stuff. We're going to talk about things that have happened, things that are coming up. So if you have not finished watching the show, go watch that. Come back afterwards and listen to us homosexuals wax poetically about the show that is Agatha All Along. So as we dive into it, we're going to do this very similarly to how we do our other reviews. We're going to talk about the things that we enjoyed. We're going to talk about things that we thought could have maybe been a little bit better. And then from there, instead of doing wild speculation and conjecture, we are going to do a rating, our overall rating and feeling of the series, and then gauge how excited we are for what will be the quote-unquote end of the trilogy or third part of the trilogy, and that is Vision Quest, which will be coming in roughly about 3 years, give or take. We'll see what happens. So without further ado, dear listeners, let's dive into the show that is, went by many a name before it settled on this, but let's dive into Agatha All Along. All right, BJ, you were going to be our first Witch of the Coven to discuss this. What did you find enjoyable? What were some of the positive takeaways from Agatha All Along?
Oh my God, does that make me Mrs. Hart? no, it was, you know, it was solid. It was absolutely solid. It was great. I had a fantastic time. I gotta give it up for Joe Locke, though. Joe Locke, this is his second thing. He has 2 actor credits on his IMDb, and his second is Agatha All Along.
It's crazy.
It's nuts. Like, and he did a great job because, like, he started out kind of like a snarky teenager, as per most young characters. But the depth of him playing a duality character like that. Is he William? Is he Billy? You know, the whole thing with him kind of trying to trick Agatha, but then also the way he plays the character is very Wanda Romanoff-esque. Like, he doesn't completely understand he even has powers. Like, he understands he has powers, but he doesn't really understand what those powers represent. I have to give it up for his costume. That is some comic accurate. That is 100% comic accurate. I just need his most recent costume has like the universe sparkles on the cape. I just need that. And then it's like chef's kiss, triple S rating.
Let's just say 95% because he doesn't have the Naruto headband.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with him not having, I like him having the crown, the Scarlet Witch crown. I love the Scarlet Witch crown. When you see me in a crown, when that played, I about lost my mind.
Yes.
but yeah, I think Billy was probably one of my favorite parts of the show. And the fact that he's kind of, while it's about Agatha, he's very much almost, he's a secondary protagonist. Almost dipped his toe in the secondary antagonist. But yeah, I really, really liked how they kind of tackled the whole reincarnation ordeal, and they called it reincarnation. Like, that was great. And I 100% glad they strongly moved away from the telepath thing. He's not just a telepath. He is a reality warper in the comics, and his ass reality warped hard, as that reveal at the end of the season was phenomenal, with him effectively creating a hex, but creating a hex that affected everybody in such a way. And I love the fact that he felt guilt because he's like, people died there.
But wait, back up. You say he's not a telepath? You mean he is a telepath and he warps reality? Or is the warping reality what allows for telepathy?
That's the question. And that's what I would love a finite definition, but I feel like with their magic system, the way they have the MCU, is magic is just weird. There is like there were specific witches that had like specific talents, but him being more or less the offspring of the Scarlet Witch makes him weirder. And I love the fact that they kind of did that whole thing where he wanted something so bad, he made it reality. And that's what Wanda did to the town, but he did it on a much more metaphysical scale. And I love that line that Agatha said, which was like, I love that line, which Agatha said was just like, huh, well, Wanda, you did something more interesting with your power. He effectively orchestrated a situation that gave people powers, but in a much weirder way, like a much more challenging way than Wanda's did. Like, Monica just walked through the hex. She just like walked through it with her body and she got powers. He gave them fucking trials. He somehow created a thing that effectively orchestrated them getting over trauma. Like, it's a very, like, if a millennial had reality warping powers, that is exactly, he's not a millennial. He's what's Gen Alpha?
Well,
because he's 16.
Yeah, I think so.
Do they have a term for the Z people too? What's the Z, Gen Z stuff? Isn't that Zoomers.
Yeah. So like, I just love, like, that was probably the best reveal about the road, because the whole time I'm like, Agatha had been here. And I love the fact that it was a con. The song itself is a con.
Yeah, that was crazy. But let me ask you this, because you said that he created something that gave people powers or, you know, different than Wanda did. Did it actually give powers? Because I think it just allowed Alice to overcome her trauma. It allowed Lilia to find, you know, peace and figure out her life. And then Jen, the road didn't give her back her powers. It put her into proximity with the person who bound her, allowing her to do the unbinding ritual. So the road didn't.
Very Scarlet Witch thing. That is a very Scarlet Witch thing to affect probability like that. And I love that. I love it.
Yes, because that's really Wanda's power in the comics. For the longest time, I think it's been modified a little bit more now to be flashier for the MCU, but Wanda was a probability manipulator. It wasn't really magic. It was bending probability to make things happen, which, yeah, I think that's phenomenal. And I agree with you. Yeah. I love the fact that he, and the way they showed him realizing that the road was his creation.
Yes.
Because New Rockstars has been calling it out every single week of like, all of these things are pieces of William / Billy's room.
Yep.
And how does that work? But then to see it all come together. Yeah, no, totally with you on that.
Would you say that Scarlet Witch is kind of like role player? Like she forced everybody into kind of role play. But Billy took that like the next step, the evolution of role play, live action role playing. I think Billy, that's what you're really saying. Billy is a LARPer.
Billy had the reverse of Wanda. Billy discovered witchcraft, even went so far as to craft a spell book and learn the rules. Then he came more into his power, whereas Wanda came into her power and then started to learn. And it's interesting how a lot of people will be like, if you don't understand what it is you're doing, you're in for a potentially bad time, especially when it comes to things like witchcraft and stuff like that. Whereas Billy learned, then got the power. So I love kind of the dichotomy between him and Wanda. And so that was probably my number one thing, is I love Billy's story and how it played out. And I was actually by the end of it, I was happy he wasn't Nicholas Scratch. I was very happy he wasn't Nicholas Scratch. And now I'm even more excited to see what they do with him in the MCU.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just as a Cliff's Notes version, because our friend of the pod, Luke, was like, I need you guys to do this episode because I don't know much about Billy's actual origins. And it's such a weird, convoluted way of back in the 80s when they were on the West Coast Avengers, Wanda somehow had children with Vision. And they all were like, how does a person and a synthesoid have babies? And then it turned out that they were actually puppets of Master Pandemonium, and then they were parts of Mephisto's soul, and then they were reclaimed, and then they were gone for a while, and then House of M happened, and then they were back again, and then they weren't there, and then she went a little crazy, and then did the Children's Crusade and tried to find her kids, and then it turns out that they were reincarnated into the bodies of these two other children, and then they didn't remember her, and then they did, and now they're with So this was definitely a better way to kind of piece all of that together, a little more simplistic, even if it does seem a little far-fetched, but that's the, you know, 25 second version of Wiccan's origins in, I guess technically Wiccan and Speed's origins in the comics. So definitely a better way to roll it out here in the MCU. All right, Eric, I'm going to throw it over to you. What did you enjoy about Agatha All Along?
Well, I know we name dropped her at the beginning, but Patti LuPone as Lilia, her whole episode, Winding Out of Time, because all the previous episodes, when she would spout off a little bit of nonsense, we all kind of understood, oh, this is something that's going to happen in the future. And she's reacting to something that's going to happen in the future. But the way they all spliced it together then in that episode for her, and she's putting it all together, it was just so masterfully done. And how they would have had, I don't envy the writers and how they would have had to obviously they had the idea, but to put that together, I'm trying to think how the writers would have done that and how long that would have taken to piece that all together. it's crazy. The whole timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly-ness of it. And then Jen's whole story, I'm going to mispronounce her name, Shahir, it's the actress.
Shahir.
She was just fantastic the last couple episodes. Her, when she unbound herself and just the reaction she had to feeling her power come back.
Oh my God.
It just, the look, it was so good. So good. And even the way Agatha was at the end when, well, in the end of the last trial on the road, when she helped Billy find Tommy. And then that last moment when she said, sometimes boys die. And I mean, it's before you see the whole Nicholas Scratch thing, but you feel the weight of it.
Mm-hmm.
And those are just some moments that are just so good. I loved Alice's trial. And that's, I mean, that's my favorite version of the Witch's Road, the Ballad of the Witch's Road.
Oh, the 1970s, like hippie version.
Them covering Lorna's version, yeah. I think four versions. Is the
cover version, yeah.
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 Well, there's True Crime, there's the Sacred Chant, there's Lorna Wu's version, there's the cover version. There's at least those four.
And then there's the version that plays during the final credits. I don't.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a
different one. It's
like a theatrical version.
Yeah. But yeah, and how just the Ballad of the Witch's Road is just fantastic, and how
I love that whole circle.
What is their name? The composers,
the Lopez's,
yeah, how they had to create the five different versions of it and come up with a song that fit five different, or could be played that many different ways. So good. Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking of at the moment.
No, and I totally agree with you. When the floor cracks and Billy is gone and Agatha pulls the hair and the eyelash with the tear, it's like, because it calls back to her being snarky to Jen about, we're supposed to grow something here with no soil and no water, and to see it all kind of play out and then have the dandelion grow. Mm-hmm. It was so, oh, just so good. So, so good. Brian, what about you? What did you enjoy?
So I definitely want to talk about the song, because I really like, you know, all the versions are great. That's fine. That's all good. But I like that the last episode really, I will say this, the last episode surprises me the most of everything that's happened in the show, some twists and all that. But that last episode really took me by surprise, because I didn't expect them to. I knew they needed to cover that story and talk about that and show that. But after the character dies is kind of a bold choice, and then you understand why. And the other thing that so that last episode, there's two major things about that I really like. One, Agatha is not a hero. She is a protagonist of sorts in some ways, but I would never, and I don't think anyone would ever say that she's a hero. In fact, that last episode took all of the bad things that we knew she did or we heard she did and like ramps them to like 11.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really, at the end of that, don't have the same relationship with this viewpoint character that she has largely been. Because it's her show. She's in, you know, most of the scenes. You know, she's not in every scene, but she is primarily your viewpoint character. You know, maybe sharing it with Billy. Especially, you know, the couple episodes that is really, you know, Billy's episodes. But So like the fact that they like don't just kind of go, look how great a mother she was, and oh look, so this is really horrible. Death took her child. We thought that something was like going to happen with Death, where like there was a deal or there was something kind of getting back to the comic's origin, but really no, she just couldn't keep, like, her kid was sick. Like, there might be more to it. Like, it's unclear who the father was or if she made the child herself. That was left very ambiguous.
Yeah.
And kids die. And sometimes boys just die.
She was going to miscarry.
Yeah, she was going to. The thing is, he was supposed to be born dead. She was literally going to take him as soon as he was born. So, like, that gives me a completely different view of Rio / Lady Death, because like when she said like nobody's gotten more privilege than you, I'm like, oh damn, she was supposed to take that baby immediately and she didn't. And
so it kind of recasts what I was saying is still true. She's able to, we're seeing Agatha recontextualized as this selfish, privileged, like because of her relationship with Death, like She's made to look way worse in this episode because of all of that. And that's a bold choice. Like, that's not something you typically find in a show, unless the show is just like Tony Soprano and, you know, you're just totally, you know, even that is like, I think mostly a little bit more redeeming. I don't know. That's one surprise. The other surprise is the ghost thing, which I just fucking love because that's so comics perfect and just amazing.
Oh yeah.
I want to come back to that. But then the way the song is not just a con. It's not just a con. The song exists because of a mother and a son having a relationship where they needed to keep each other entertained, but also we're sort of documenting their story and their journey. And by then weaving that into this lore of the witches, albeit through this sort of a con eventually, like it didn't start that way. That became, and that also probably led to why it was so popular among the witches and all that. But like that it's rooted in this real, believable, like I just love how history does that. I love how our lives do that. Little moments become enshrined in song and ritual, in memes, in whatever. Like I just, that's a cool phenomenon to put into narrative fiction. Again, you don't see that happen very often. So I love that. Those are two things that just and then, you know, finally the ghost stuff. I don't think a lot of us have read, have any of you read the Fantastic Four run with Agatha showing up? Have you read any of the
original, like her original appearance?
Yeah. I mean, no. I don't know if it was like her,
it, but I haven't read it.
And I haven't read all of it either.
It was her first appearance. It was her first appearance was Fantastic Four.
Okay, good. So she pretty much started as a ghost, or she was a ghost very quickly therein. And for many, many, many iterations, all she was a ghost. And she had all this history and all this stuff is sort of prelude, and then they refer back to it, and then there's time travel shenanigans and there's all this stuff. But like she was a ghost tutor / like surrogate grandmother to the Richards kids. Mm-hmm. So now having this as her relationship with Tommy and Billy, potentially, definitely with Billy, it just fits it all really nicely into what the comics, you know, that she was for much of her time in the comics.
And one of the recent Scarlet Witch comic, they have her back as a ghost mentoring Wanda. Wanda wanting to redo kind of how she's learned magic and everything. She summons Agatha's ghost, and Agatha's ghost, like in one of the most recent iterations of the comics, is mentoring her. So you kind of, it's interesting, like how, whatever they're going to do with Children's Crusade, they can even incorporate recent stuff from the comics, because recently they've had her kind of reclaim that role as like a spirit helping out. So I just love how it's the old adage, like with her using the song to garner power, hurt people, hurt people.
Oh, yeah.
Like that is always the best lesson in a lot of media that I love, is hurt people can hurt people. They can do the only thing that they think they've done.
They could have made a better case, but I'll save that the conversation for the what we didn't like. And I think Pat's probably got maybe one or two things left, if any. I don't know. We didn't leave. We left you a crumbs. Now eat them up.
No, we left him a sand. We left him a whole sandwich. See if he's.
There is a lot there left to be said. I will say, one of the things that I loved the most was. So to your point, Brian, Agatha for roughly like the first half is the POV character, and they physically shift the POV when Billy comes into his own, when she buzzes by his ear and says, "You are so much like your mother," and it flips, the camera spins and shifts the POV from Agatha to Billy, and he goes into the whole, you know, Wiccan, and then ending with "You Should See Me in a Crown," which I'd never heard the song before. I'm not a big Billie Eilish listener, so it was just chef's kiss. But I will say, one of the things that I loved the most was when we got into that next episode and we learn about William Kaplan, we learn that Lilia put the sigil on him. Like, those pieces there, the tower reversed, getting that first mention, and literally, like, I know my friend slash roommate Chris was probably like, this guy's losing his mind, when we got to Lilia's trial, and right before we get the tower reverse, I'm like, the tower reverse, and just, it was so good. That episode where we get to kind of see everything from Billy's perspective, while Agatha is still under Wanda's spell, and the ridiculousness of it all was hysterical. Agatha clicking the pen like 16 times, and Billy just sitting there going, "All right, that'll work." Okay, no, it won't. All right, that'll work again. Like, it was done so well. I enjoyed it so much. Jen freaking fell in love with her character. Jen and Lilia in the catacombs or underground during that whole piece, like that relationship that built, her being so heart-wrenchingly distraught that Lilia sent them on their way and chose to stay behind, knowing it was the end or the beginning of her cycle, depending on how you look at time, because she, as she pointed out, she doesn't experience time the same way that we do. And to have that episode end, or at least Lilia's portion end, with her coming full circle to the start of her journey as a witch and sitting down as young Lilia with her maestra, was so good. And it just, overall.
Oh, when Patty said, "I loved being a witch." Saying that. I mean, like, I didn't even need the whole showing. I was like, oh my gosh, she's dead.
Yo, oh god, it was so good. It was so good. It really did pick up and just land so many story beats. The visuals, the fact that this was primarily a practical, like all like the scenery, the setting. When Rio took her knife and cut through the fabric.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god.
Like, that's hysterical.
Well, that is amazing. It's great because it's the lowest budget Marvel show, according to, I think, Jay's post. Yes. But I mean, I assume that that's from somewhere.
Oh, there's been lots of reports about that. Yes.
And so it's like the most practical, like, theater solution that you can come up with. But it also, it works because of the heightened state of the world that we're in. And it's death. I mean, it's a meta. Yeah. What did Marvel used to call them? What were the conceptual, or the like the Beyonder and the Living Tribunal? There was
she's
not elementals, she's like or
the, like the celestial,
she's
like
a she's a primordial being, she's,
there's something else. Yeah, I'll find it. Yeah. But anyway, but yeah, that it works because of all that.
Yeah, and like, yeah, on one hand, yes, it makes sense that she can cut through anything to leave, but also it can be a sign to us that, oh, this is all fake. This is all made up because it's a set.
Yeah. Yeah,
you don't catch it because you're concentrating on, oh, well, death can cut through anything. But
well, that should have been the first sign that it was a hex, is the fact that she had to cut instead of just like magicking her way away. She had to cut a hole in it to leave. Like,
yeah, it made me giggle. It was great. And Rio is death. Aubrey Plaza just absolutely fucking killed this entire thing.
No, actress could ever play Lady Death like her.
Do you think they'll do a series of shorts of her going back to all the Marvel deaths and ushering people to the afterlife?
I don't want that.
I want her ushering fucking Hela. I would love a what if episode where she goes, because if you notice her character design, the colors are the exact same shade of green as Hela's stuff. And I loved that. I noticed that right away. I was like, her green is like a very strong emerald, exactly the same color as Hela's from Thor Ragnarok. And I was like, nothing in Marvel is a coincidence. Something's off.
Yeah, and it's just so good. And the fact that they kept part of her face, because Aubrey Plaza's eyes just being so emotive, utilizing the bottom half as the skull, it was fantastic. So that the song, I according to what has been uploaded from episode 9. That final version is Agatha Through Time. So I don't know if that's just Catherine Hahn singing and that's why it sounds different, because she doesn't have the accompanying witches with her. But yeah, I thought that was great. And it was heart-wrenching to see that the song started as a bond between a mother and her child that she lost. And then to see what it took on and how it changed is crazy. But I think I could probably sit here and talk for another 20, 30 minutes about, you know, all these little itsy bitsy pieces. But if you've got things out there, dear listeners, that you have enjoyed, let us know in the comments. We want to hear it. Let's move on to the things that we could maybe have changed, improved a little bit. Eric, I'm going to start with you.
I know that they had to kind of kill some people off, so I understand it had to happen in an order, but it was only the 9 episodes, so it's not like they could dawdle too long, but I would have liked more time with Alice. It was like, on one hand, it just shows, oh, when your time's up, it's up. But on the other hand, like her, she didn't get any time after her curse was lifted to kind of be herself. And so I don't know how they could have done it differently, but that was just something. I think this is more, this is just a me thing. For me, part of me, I thought it was a little hokey the way they showed Nicholas and Agatha writing the song. I understand as a plot point, it works well that it would have been a way for her to con witches and it all turned out to be very powerful story beats. But I just thought it was a little hokey the way they were showing the way it started out. But I did enjoy the time spent with Nicholas and her overall. Let's just see.
You didn't think that an uneducated 6-year-old would be able to come up with lyrics that good?
Exactly.
There are people in
the late 1700s.
Absolutely not. There are people who clearly barely have the educational ability of a kid from the 1700s who are making millions now off their hooks. So, I mean, if anybody, I was going to say, was it, what's those kids in was it Ireland that came up with that dance song that is absolutely fucking fire? And I'm like, okay, yeah, I can totally believe a kid could come up with that.
They're not six, right?
I think that's about it. I kind of just liked all of it. So it was kind of difficult to find things that I really didn't enjoy that we didn't necessarily talk about on the first time we talked about Agatha. Because I thought the second half was a lot stronger than the very beginning. Maybe that the Salem 7 turned out to kind of be a nothing burger in the end.
It felt like there should have been more to do with them. I agree there.
Yeah.
BJ, what about you? What would you have improved?
Honestly, I don't think anything. Because I wonder, I'm like, oh, well, maybe a solid, like, even 12 episodes would have been better. Like, but in all honesty, like, they got when Alice died, I was like, no, I want more Alice. But then that whole exchange between her and Death, where Death is just like, come on, time to go. And she's just like, but I'm ready to live more. And she's just like, she's like, I'm ready to do more. And she's just like, aren't you a protection witch? And she goes, yeah. And she's like, and you died protecting someone. And that little moment where Rio's like, you fulfilled technically not just your life's purpose, but your own, like, you were created. You were built to protect people and be their shield. And like, she's just like, you did it. And it's one of those things where I had the exact same feeling with Death from Sandman, where she picks up the baby and she's like, yep, I'm sorry, that's all you get. And I'm like, that's the rub. So like, honestly, I'm like, maybe an extra episode with Jen. Other than that, I really have no notes. I think this is probably the first one, only because of the way it ended. And honestly, especially that they didn't drag out, because that was my gripe with WandaVision, where they dragged out that final fight, which felt very like, okay, now we're back on the MCU. We're in the MCU now again, and we're doing all the standard MCU stuff. I like how they didn't really drag out the fight. It kind of ended very abruptly. And yeah, I honestly got no notes, no real notes. I'd write it again.
Brian, what about you?
All right, so let's talk about it. The last episode, as much as I loved it, could have been longer, could have been spread out, could have been a little more successful. I don't agree with Eric that it was hokey, but I do understand the note. I like the idea of it. I think it was just too compressed. Tonal shifts were all over the place. I don't know that I hate that, but I do wish like certain tonal shifts weren't as severe. Like, we started pretty well, wacky satirical with the first episode. Then we go into wacky, you know, witch zany more for the next couple. Then we go into, I mean, kept that theme anyway. Just, it kind of just moved around a lot in tonally. And I mean, I can live with that.
Campy as hell.
Yeah. But the last two episodes were very serious and didn't feel campy as much. And you have to get serious every now and again for a big epic, you know, battle. All of that has to happen, but it just, the episode week to week just felt kind of like, oh, now we're doing this, now we're doing that. And that's, again, I can live with it, especially if it's like WandaVision, where it's very episodic and sort of there's a narrative through line, but you're doing a thing each week. That wasn't really the case here. So, you know, maybe a little bit more tonal cohesion. Agatha, amazing. All the actresses, everything, all of that is fantastic. I don't think there was any acting problems. Music was great. Like I said, love the song and love the focus. The Catherine Hahn as a ghost, that FX was not good. I think you were, and I think I know why they had to do it very RuPaul season one filter Because they're going for Ghost. They're also going to show that she's aged and it's kind of...
Why are you so motherfucking blurry?
it looked confusing and weird and I don't think it was the most successful use of an effect. And again, budget, maybe. You're trying to like make Catherine Hahn look old without really making her look old. I mean, all of it could be, but it just kind of did look weird. And that one shot when the light came in from the door opening, I was like, oh, look, that's what it should look like. And then I don't know. I think there's one more thing, but those are enough. I mean, overall, I'm much happier with the way it ended and the whole arc of the whole season than the first couple I think I complained about. I do think that tonal thing was kind of related to my notes from the first couple episodes, how it shifted suddenly and in a weird spot. So that, you know, whatever is still kind of maybe just an overarching thing. I just didn't jive with, you know, but yeah, I love the show. It's great. Hopefully more Jacques Schaeffer, however you say her name, more Marvel stuff from her or whatever she does. I'm interested.
Very nice. Couple things that I think some of this overlaps a little bit. I wish the pacing was a little better and the episodes were more consistent when it comes to length. And I wish we got a little bit more in each one. I know that, you know, they're dealing with a budget and they're dealing with these stories and this is the best place to end this, but give us a 10th episode. Like, what is 9? It just 9 just feels weird. Like, would any of us been upset if there was a 10th episode? I'm pretty sure not. I'm pretty sure we would have all been like, okay, that works. And I think that, to Brian's point, like, you could have drawn out the Death versus Agatha fight and that whole kind of piece. I do find it hysterical that the townsfolk were all just kind of like, is it happening again? I don't know. And then they just see a super powered person put their hood up and get in their Subaru Forester and drive away. That was very odd and interesting. And then I just wish that we had been able to keep some of the characters in the respect of being able to keep an Alice Wu around and do more with them. Patti LuPone. I mean, I think Patti LuPone was going to be in the next 5 Marvel team up movies? Probably not. But would I have liked her to have been? Sure. So, you know, overall, I think it had some pieces for me. It wasn't a flawless piece of art. None of the things really are, but I think it overall did a really good job. And following up from WandaVision, which, aside from the rushed feeling of the finale because of COVID kind of taking a hold on the world, it was a very strong show overall. And I think this was a great way to follow it up. And yeah, I think overall, successful. So listeners, if you have some things that you want to chime in on, maybe that weren't mentioned, or you would like to expound upon some of the pieces that we've talked about, let us know in the comments. Let us know on social media. We want to hear from you. And to wrap things up, let's go around. Let's do a flame rating for the show overall and a 1 to 5 flame ratings of how excited we are for Vision Quest, which will be the next series that connects this WandaVision, Agatha All Along story, overall story. We're not going to really count Multiverse of Madness in there. I know it technically is part of this story, but let's not go into that. So, BJ, flame rating for Agatha, 1 to 5 flames for how excited you are for Vision Quest. And go.
5 out of 5. Mostly because I'm 90% sure Vision Quest is also going to be some of the Visions. So I'm very excited.
Ooh. Oh my goodness. I forgot about the Vision, the comic book series, the limited series. Oh my God. Who wrote that? Brian, who wrote, is one of the writers that that you like?
Yeah, it's Tom King. Tom King, yeah.
It was Tom King. Okay. Very nice. But BJ, you didn't give us... So 5 out of 5 excited for Vision Quest. What was your flame rating for Agatha? Is that also 5 out of 5? Just fives?
That is also...
Fives across the board?
Fives across the board.
All right. Very good. Eric, what about you? Agatha All Along and Vision Quest.
5 for Agatha. I guess a 4 for Vision Quest. I never read the Visions miniseries, so I'm not sure what to expect from it. And I don't know.
I'll make you read that when you're here this weekend. I'll load up my Marvel Unlimited and be like, here, read these 12 issues of The Vision. Real quick. All right, Brian, what about you? Agatha and Vision Quest.
Agatha, 4 out of 5. That were 4 out of Flame Flames that we're doing?
There you go. 4 flames for Agatha. How many flames excited are you for Vision Quest
in a couple of years? I you know, honestly, when I read who's doing it, it's the guy who did the Picard series. I'm a little trepidatious about what that's going to be like. I don't know that it's going to be what we... Anyway, so I'm going to give that a cautious 3 only because I don't know that that showrunner may be the right choice. But if it was Jack Schaefer, all 5. If it's this other person who I don't remember their name, 3.
Gotcha. So I'm going to give Agatha All Along a 5 as well. I think overall it was... It hit where it needed to hit, and it picked up the pace and really stuck the landing for me. Jen flying away from Westview. Oh, so good. And I would say a 3.75 for Vision Quest. I'm excited for Vision. If it does incorporate Tom King's The Vision in into the storyline, that'd be amazing as well. And that it'll be amazing for me, but... Until I know more about what it's going to be and how it's going to kind of go from there, I'm going to be cautiously optimistic in my hopes for it. But dear listeners, tell us what you thought about Agatha All Along. Are you excited for Vision Quest? What do you think is coming next for finding Tommy out there in the world with ghost babysitter Agatha and what you thought of Agatha All Along? Until we meet in a couple of weeks, dear listeners, go check us out online at flameonshow.com. There you can find all of our links, our media, reach out to us, do all of that fun stuff. And we'll see you on our next episode. Bye, y'all.